Oh, praise God. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7? Would you read it with me, please? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh of the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. If we don't what? Lose heart. Now, this may sound strange to you, but this is a spiritual law. And in this spiritual law, one of the things he's telling us is, of course, what you sow is what you reap. And he says, don't lose heart. In other words, keep sowing to the Spirit. In other words, don't keep sowing to the flesh. Keep sowing to the Spirit, and you're going to reap a reward. Your harvest will come. So don't stop sowing, no matter what's going on in your life. No matter how things seem to be. What's happening here? He's saying to us, listen, this sowing and reaping is a law of predicting your future. It's what? Predicting your future. Why? Because what you sow is what you what? Is that predicting your future? Amen. The Bible says if you rob God by tithes and offerings, you're cursed. Are you predicting your future? Yes. No matter what you do. The devil always has access to you to steal, kill, and destroy. So one of the things that the enemy is trying to do is predict your future. Has everybody got it? And that's what we're always fighting, isn't it? We're fighting off to where the enemy stops predicting our future. And we allow God to predict our future. You know, I mean, just in the simple arena of tithes and offering, how people's future is predicted by the devil. And of course, they use the excuse, well, God knows my heart. Well, you're an idiot. The word won't return void. Hello? Well, I have bills to pay. That's why. Well, I can never get ahead. That's why. Because the enemy is predicting your future and he puts limitations on your life. And he can keep you snagged all the way. And anything that God is trying to get to you, the enemy has a legal right to take it. Has everybody got it? He has a legal right to take it. Why? Because there is a curse for stealing, robbing God. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Everybody talks about the Beatitudes. But I'm telling you, these Beatitudes will predict your future. It says, blessed, not cursed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, that's the humble, the brokenhearted. For theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who what? Mourn. For they shall what? Be comforted. Blessed are the what? Meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness, for they should be what? Filled. Maybe you're not getting filled because you're not thirsty and hungry for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All of these areas are predicting your future. You know, so many times people are looking for prophecies of all of these wonderful things that you're going to do in the future. When your future's being predicted, are you listening by what you do? Even prophecies won't fall into place unless you're walking according to the will of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward where? Is that in the future? Great reward is yours in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, predicting your future. You know, it's amazing in how granola we can get sometimes. In the area where it's just spiritual common sense. Simple. Simple. God is not complex in the area of communicating with His children. He is simple. There is a simplicity. Paul wrote a letter to his children, to the church, rebuking them because they've lost the simplicity of Christ. It's simple. Simple law. Sow and reap. Hello. There's your predicted future. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So whatever you're going to do unto somebody else, you can expect that you're going to... Hello? You're going to get the same way. Why? That's a predicted future, isn't it? If you eat 16 Twinkies, you already know what's coming. That's a predicted future. See, your cooperation is either going to be a predicted future with God or a predicted future of the enemy. Your disobedience, all of our disobedience, is a predicted future for the enemy. See, because the moment you think that God doesn't see, you already bit the bait and swallowed it. Hello. The moment you lose sight of making unseen realm to become seen, you've bitten the bait. And you've lost it. And you're going to have a predicted future. And that predicted future is going to be predicted by your cooperation of God or the enemy. Of the spirit or of the flesh. Has everybody got it? Everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Jeremiah 29. Predicting your future. Hello? Jeremiah 29. In verse 10. He says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. What's verse 11 say? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a what? And a hope. So, you know what God has for you. You know what God wants for you. He says, then you will call upon me and go to pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? So, when are you going to find him? When you search for him with what? All of your heart. See, that is predicted, isn't it? Is everybody okay? You are predicting your future on what you do. And so many times people lose sight of it or treat it nonchalantly. You are predicting your future. Now, I didn't say events. We don't know what events are going to happen, do we? We don't know what the seasons are going to bring. But we know whether it's going to be good or bad by what we're doing right now. God said, I've come to give you a future and a hope. In this, there is a physical timeline. We talked about time last week. And there's a physical timeline and a spiritual timeline. All physical events are initiated by the spiritual purpose. And that is to awaken the spirit of the man so that it can accommodate or adjust to the spiritual timeline, because we're living in a physical timeline. So these events that are happening in your life, which we call seasons, remember those interruptions of time in your life are called seasons. And in this, it is so that your spirit man can be awakened. Hello? So you can adjust back to the spiritual timeline that God has set for you. Why? Because the spiritual timeline God has set for you is establishing your future. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. Let's read it together. Mark the what? Blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is what? Peace. Is that a predicting your future? Yes. But the transgression shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? They trust in Him. The future of the righteous is peace and life. Of course, the future of the wicked is death, isn't it? The time of trouble is a physical timeline to awaken, rescue, reposition, or warn. I'll say that again. That time of trouble he's talking about is the physical timeline to awaken, rescue, reposition, or warn. He releases the strength needed to get through and maintain the course for the predestined future that he has for us. Go to verse 16. Let's read it. It says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be what? Forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be what? They shall be what? Satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metal, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be what? Cut off. Wow, is that a predicted future? Amen. Let's go a little further. It says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And his delight is in his way. So what's the steps of a bad man? Ordered by who? Satan. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. That is a predicted future, isn't it? Now, we know that he is talking about two important things here, because he says pride is dangerous. Pride. You're either going to be prideful and predict your future, or you're going to be humble and predict your future. Humble submits, pride rejects. So you are predicting your own future. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And even the things when we were in a world that we didn't get caught doing, we thought we were okay. But there was somebody who saw it all. So even though we thought we got away with it, he saw it all. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Is that predicted future? Yeah. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the what? The deep things of God. Things God has prepared. So cooperation with the Spirit allows God to predict your future. Has everybody got it? Cooperation with the Spirit allows God to predict your future. Even though that you know you're predicting your own future. Does everybody understand that? In other words, you know, everybody knows. There isn't a person here that does not know that what they're doing is waiting for them. What you spoke, what you confessed, what you did is waiting for you. Hello? Why? You're predicting your future. See, the thing is if you don't start realizing that you're predicting your future, the enemy will. You allow him to predict your future and put limitations on your life, and you'll go in a cycle and never be able to break out. See, it's time to break out. It's time to constantly expose the enemy from trying to predict our future by the things that we say, the things we agree with in our thoughts, and the things that we do. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Hello, that's a predicted future. You do something to somebody, you can expect something to happen to you. But I'm washed by the blood. Amen. So you won't die. But what you sow is what you reap. So whatever you're doing behind closed doors, God knows. Amen. So if you're doing things behind closed doors, the things of the enemy, you're predicting your future, and the devil is controlling it. But I go to church. That's nice. Yes, I show up, sing a couple hymns, and leave. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous time right now. Very, very dangerous. I sense the spirits of oppression rampant. I mean, just raiding the United States. Raiding it. Oppression. People don't know what to do. Frustrated. Woe is me. Things aren't happening. My job. My this. See, oppression is going to always induce fear. And that's what the enemy wants to bring us to. Because he wants to predict your future. See, his hope is that you end up killing yourself. He hopes that you'll do something stupid to move out of the will of God or get us in trouble. The Bible tells us that he's the most cunning beast God created. Let me tell you, if you're not in the spirit, he'll outwit you in a second. He can cause you to reason so quickly and give you a justification to do something in the flesh that will predict your future under his control. He is not stupid. He is the most cunning. Remember, God granted him the wisdom. That's why the Bible says, be wise as a what? Serpent. Who do you think he's talking about? He had a wisdom and gentle as a dove. He'll outwit us. He'll bring justification and reasoning so quickly that you'll be doing the things he wants you to do and you think you're doing it for God until it begins to manifest. Because he wants to predict your future. And he can do it if you let him. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Would you read it with me, please? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. When you see in Christ, you know that is representation of in the anointing, and you got to understand it's a representation of in God's will. In other words, things are available to me and you if we're doing the will of God. The door shuts the moment you stop doing the will of God. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without what? Blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all what? Wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him. In him also we have obtained a what? An inheritance. An inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you received. You were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption and our purchased possessions and the praise of his glory. So we are predestined with every spiritual blessing in spiritual locations of Christ available for us. Available for me and you. That is a predicted future. Has everybody got it? His promises for me and you are predicted futures, but the promises are available according to our cooperation. Why? Because the predicted future that he has for me and you, okay, so you blow it, you repent. Amen? So you get back into position and you start going again. But even when we blow it, it interfered, didn't it? It interfered. Things have to be readjusted again. Sometimes things have to, I don't want to say start over, but there's a lapse in time so that we can catch up to where we were in position. And he holds things back until we're in that place. See, so many times after we repent, we're expecting God to just, oh, thank you, Lord, I repented. Now everything's available to you. No, you must get back to the place where he was getting ready to release the promise. He waits for you to get back there. Just because we repented doesn't mean we're there. Why? Because he's trying to remove the predestined part that the enemy has portrayed in your life because of what we've done. And what we've done, there is the reaping. So God is setting it up so that we can get back into that level where we're supposed to be to release that promise. But so many times people take it nonchalantly, or they take it in the area, well, the Lord forgave me, it's over with. Yes, the Lord did forgive you, and it's not over with. Because you still must reap what you sowed. And you still must earn the trust of God. Because He forgave you, yes. But you've not earned His trust yet to be released. So you must get to that level where He releases the promise. Because He's not going to release the promise until you get back to the level of that promise. And people cry out to God. And they blame others. And they blame this. And they blame that. And they blame people. Why? Because you're not at the level where God is expecting you to be to release the promise. That's why I like hanging around with babies. Man, you watch them start coming up, and all the promises are being released. God is blowing their socks off. They're all, wow, this is great. I'm like, yeah, it is great. I love watching the hand of God change somebody. But then all of a sudden they get to a level, and there's another level they must reach, which is a little bit more deeper now. You got to fight a little bit more harder. God is no longer changing our diaper. He's expecting you to change your clothes. He's expecting you to pray. He's expecting you to do things now. He's expecting you to cooperate in the area of beginning to mature and coming out of the baby Huey syndrome. Where's the woes is Mises? And get to that level so He can release the promise. See, but so many times, because it's going, growing, growing, and going, and growing, and going, and you're seeing all these things being released to you, and all of a sudden it stops. Whoa. What happened? Now you got to fight harder for God's presence. Because He's trying to bring you to another level. So there's got to be a level of death to receive the next promise. Is everybody okay? But see, so many times, just because somebody says, well, God forgave me. Yes, He did. He forgave you, but it's not over. Now, we're to forgive others, aren't we? Wouldn't unforgiveness interfere? You know, if you're holding unforgiveness towards someone, is that going to predict your future? Amen. So there's an area where we've got to forgive and forget. And some of the things we need to forget are the things that what we have done in the area, but know that we still must reap for what we've done. Does everybody understand that? In other words, we don't want condemnation to beat us up when we're willing to accept, Lord, you know, I blew it. I said something I shouldn't. I did something I shouldn't. Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it, and I'm willing to accept whatever it is I'm supposed to. Please forgive me. He forgives you. And let me tell you that the enemy will show up with all kinds of condemnation to try to beat you up. Hello? When God's trying to grow you up. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek what? But seek what? First, the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness. Hello. That means get right. And all these things will be added to you. See, so many people use this. Well, God knows what I need. Yes, He does. But there's something you got to do. You must seek the kingdom and His righteousness. Then it will be released. It's not, oh God, I need. It's seek the kingdom of God, that is kingdom principles, so that you will abide in His righteousness, and then He will meet your need. I said need. I didn't say He'd fill your storehouse. I said He'll meet your need. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Therefore, do not worry about what? Tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we know that worry is sin. And sin is the presence of evil. His righteousness connects us to the spiritual timeline. I'm going to say that again. His righteousness, as you are abiding in His righteousness, it connects us to the spiritual timeline. It connects us to the spiritual timeline and the life stream of the river of life by abiding in His righteousness. That means you are cooperating with His righteousness. Glory to God. John 16. John 16 and verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into what? So if you're walking in the Spirit, He's going to guide you into all truth, isn't He? And if you're walking in the Spirit and He's guiding you into all truth, then you're predicting your future as good, isn't it? For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you what? Things to come. Things to come. So if the Holy Spirit, if you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you're getting ready to do something, and you're hearing, don't do that, He's going to tell you, He's going to tell you, you're going to predict your future. Do you want me to predict your future, or do you want the enemy to predict your future? Do you want the flesh to predict your future, or the Spirit to predict your future? That's why He tells us things to come. See, so many times the enemy loves to share with us justification. That's why there's so many people I talk to. I've been a believer 30 years. Really? And you're still living with that person? They're justifying. Why? And let me tell you, their future is predicted already. It's called hell. Still using, still pornography, still this, still lying, still cheating, still robbing God. Predicted future is hell. Until that person turns. See, repentance doesn't mean, oh Lord, forgive me and keep doing it. It means turn away. Turn away. When you turn away, there's a difference. God washes you with the blood. He forgives you. And as you turn away and you get back into that level position, then He releases the promise. That's why so many marriages are forced marriages. Many marriages are forced because the individuals can't wait. They go get married. Oh, this is the one. And they ended up with no one. I'm not going to go into that tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love toward him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should what? Take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, Satan wants to take advantage. He knows that if you hold on forgiveness, he's got you. Remember, he is trying to predict your future. You know, things don't always happen because we did something wrong that day. Did you ever notice that? In fact, while we were out there serving the devil for all of these years and things happened, whatever, and somebody was praying for us, or we were crying out to God, but many of us had to go through hell to get to heaven. We finally had to get to a place where there was no other way but up. But we still had to go through it. Because Satan had predicted our future. And then Jesus stepped in and kicked Satan off of our future. But we still must continue to cooperate with God so he can predict our future. In other words, he predicts the events and seasons. But you and I can predict our future by what we're doing. Common sense, simplicity. You know, you have unforgiveness, you lie, you steal, you cheat, you manipulate. You know what's going to happen. And we open the door to the devil to predict our future again and run our life. But again, he wants to justify, doesn't he? Unforgiveness will prevent the predestined plan of God to come to pass in your life. You must forgive. Listen, many of us have been hurt. Many of us have been rejected. Many of us have been lied to, stolen from, all kinds of things. You know what you got to do? You forgive and you forget what they've done. Now, what I'm talking about in this arena is don't be stupid and do it again. In other words, if somebody stole $100 from you, you're not going to, if they call you up the next day, you're not going to give them $100 again. You're going to forgive them and forget and give it. Why? In this arena of forgetting, you're going to roll it over to the Lord. But now you're going to use wisdom. Now you're going to use wisdom. Because if you don't do that, you'll allow the enemy to predict your future again. And we don't want that. Why go back to have to learn a lesson? Let's keep going forward. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Proverbs 23. So you can predict your future whether it's good or bad, but God predicts the events and seasons to form you in his image. Well, it just doesn't seem fair. It's a good day to die. Proverbs 23. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, which is somewhat an evil eye, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So as a man thinks, so he what? Is. Is. See, so one of the ways that the enemy wants to predestine your future is to manipulate you through thought. It's called fiery darts. And if you agree with it, and that's where he brings reasoning and justification. And what was, did you ever get sick and you heard, you got this and you got that, and you know what I mean? And it's nothing but a simple cold or a simple sneeze, but the enemy starts telling you, you've got, you know, spinal meningitis, you're going to die, you got this, you're going to die, you got cancer, you're going to do it. I mean, you get attacked. I mean, he's there to show up to tell you why. He wants to predict your future, because if you begin to agree with it, it can come to pass. You know, there's so many people that are worried about falling and backsliding and going back to using drugs that they usually do. Because your greatest fear will entrap you. Because you're still thinking about it. He's still manipulating you. And that means you're still agreeing with it. What's he doing? He's predestining your future again. And you're trying to fight with him. And trying to tell him, no, that I'm not going to. No, you got to cast that down. You got to sever it. Because those areas are emotional attachments in your life. They may be bad emotional attachments, but you must sever it and put the blood between it and get rid of those spirits. You know, when many times, because when we're in a jail and so forth and we minister in a jail, one of the things that happens with people in the jail, the first thing that they're afraid of is losing the person they've been hanging with, the opposite sex. And the devil begins to manipulate them and cause them to fear until that person can get to the level of letting it go and letting God. You know, our spouses cannot rescue us. Our friends can't rescue us. Your pastor can't rescue you. Only he can rescue you. But if you cooperate with truth and put it into practice, you will be free. That's the only way truth sets you free. Not knowing what to do, but doing it is what sets you free. There's a lot of people that know what to do, but they become complacent and lazy to do it. And they go back into captivity. As a man thinks, so he is. Don't let the enemy predict your future by manipulating your thoughts. Now, there's something I got to share with you, which is so important, because I want you to picture a escalator. You know those floor escalators that you get on in the airport? And, you know, you step one foot on it, and all of a sudden, whoa. You know? Now, if you were to walk perfectly with this escalator, you could stay in one place, can't you? Now, I want you to begin to picture this, because your future is actually coming to you. Walking in the present is walking in the future and past at the same time. That's walking in the present. See, because your future is coming to you, and you're walking out of your past, but you're still walking in it, aren't you? Are you listening to me? And I'm talking about timeline, because time is constantly going, isn't it? Time is actually shortening, isn't it? So in this, as you're walking in the present, your future is actually coming to you, because time is associated with your future. And it's closing in. So while you're walking in the present, you're actually walking in your past and future at the same time. See, and the enemy knows that. So what he's trying to do is, while you're walking in the present, he's trying to manipulate you from the things of your past so he can predict your future. Even while you're walking in the present. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Glory! Psalm 1. See, so many people are trying to look in the future, where your future is actually coming to you. You're not going to it. Even though we're pressing through time, has everybody got it? Even though we're pressing through time, you're pressing through time in the present, aren't you? But your future is coming to you. And you're walking in your past, but you're walking from your past, aren't you? But you're still walking in it. This last step that I just took just came from my past. The last two words that I just spoke came from my past. As I put this hand down, are you ready? I just left my past. Are you listening? Even though I'm walking in the present, but that is past. See, we're always looking at past as way long ago. No. By the time we leave here tonight, are you listening? Because we're walking in the present, we have already gone further in the future and further away from our past. But because we're walking in the present, we are walking in the past and in the future at the same time. And time still moves. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly. nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? When it says he shall be, is that past or future? It's future. But it's also associated with what? Present. Because you're walking in the present. If you're obeying God, you are walking in the present, which is walking in the past and in the future at the same time. And you will be a tree of righteousness. You will be a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Oh, I love that word, season. That's interrupted time, isn't it? Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. What you perceive and understand will predict your future. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why are they destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because there's things that they do not perceive correctly nor understand correctly. And because of that, it allows the enemy to predict their future instead of God. That's why he says, get wisdom, get understanding, stay in fellowship, maintain the presence of God in your life. All of these areas are to maintain and keep the door shut to the enemy. The Bible says, make no place to the devil, right? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So as you perceive and understand, it predicts your future, because as a man thinks, so he becomes. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm telling you again that the spirit of oppression is rampant in the United States right now. Now, it's also promoting, it promotes fear. And what protects fear? Anger. Anger protects fear. Anger. See, that's why there's a promotion of hatred now, isn't there? I mean, hatred is being promoted greatly. Racism is being promoted like it's never been promoted before. Oppression is so rampant in the area because people are being oppressed in worry, which is fear. Businesses are not hiring because they don't know what's coming next. They know the government is messed up. They know they can't trust the government right now because the government lies so much. The country is in a terrible state. That's probably one of its worst states that it's ever been in. People are looking for you. They're looking for answers. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for hope. They're looking for compassion, which the world can't give them because it's false, it's temporary, it's not eternal. The world, the people, are looking for you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore what? Humble, 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 humble yourself. That means you got to eat a lot of humble pie. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Doing what? Casting all your care upon him, for he what? For he what? Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your cares are used by the enemy to promote fear and misdirect your future if they are not cast on the Lord. In other words, everybody has the tendency to want to fix something now. And the reason they want to fix it now is because they fear. I need to make that call now. I need to do this now. I need to do that now. Ah! Now there's a time when there's certain things we have to do now because we are walking in the present, which is the past and the future. But there's an area where the enemy pushes to cause us to do something that is out of order. Are you listening? He produces this fear to put us out of order. And when we get out of order, we usually want to tell somebody else they're out of order, but it's we're the ones that's out of order. See, maybe they're in order and we're out of order. But we think they're out of order, but we're the ones, you know what I'm saying? It's a cycle of disorder. But we're the cast our cares because the enemy loves to use these cares to promote fear and misdirect our future. Spiritual compassion is promoted by God. Compassion. It predicts your future, doesn't it? Because it's godly. It's a godly motive, isn't it? The godly motive of compassion that promotes God's will. So predicting your future to doing the will of God or doing the will of Satan is up to us, isn't it? You know, so many times in that area of fear or anger, which moves us out of position or out of line and out of God's timeline, we begin to look at things in a different level because you see things differently when you're out of the timeline. You see things differently. In other words, if you're accusing, if you're always looking at other people's garbage and not your own, you're out of God's timeline. Now, if somebody needs to be rescued, hello, because of what's going on, that means God is allowing you to see it so that it can be exposed so that person can be rescued. Is everybody okay? But in this, one of the things that the enemy wants to promote is that area of pride because he knows if he can promote the pride, he can predict your future. Because the Bible says God rejects the proud. But he gives grace to the who? Humble. So when we want control, that is called pride. It is not humble. When we release control, and we give it to the Lord, that is called humble. Is everybody okay? Remember, pride is an area which protects self, and fear protects pride, and anger protects fear. And they're used to predict our future by the enemy and disqualify our predicted future of God. And we must be attuned to this. We must have the discernment. We must be sensitive to this. It is important because of what is happening in this country. Is everybody okay? Good. Proverbs 22. Predicting your future. Would you read it with me? The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are what? Punished. By the humility, verse 4, read it with me. By the humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. How many of y'all want riches, honor, and life? Well, it's going to take two things. It's going to take what? Humility and the fear of the Lord. Staying humble and maintaining the reverence, respect, and honor to Him. Those two things are what's going to keep you maintaining humility and the fear of the Lord. Why? Because if you're maintaining the presence of God, you're going to maintain humility and the fear of the Lord. When those two are compromised, you're out of line. When they are compromised, you're out of order. You're out of line, and you can expect the enemy to predict your future. But if you know it, you can predict your future, and what we need to do is get back in line. Humility and the fear of the Lord will promote future of riches, honor, and life. You can predict your future by what you accept today in the present. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord with a what? Pure heart. Pure heart. And those who have a pure heart shall see God. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, be able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition of God perhaps, and will grant them repentance, so that they may come to the truth, and that they may come to their senses in simplicity, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Romans 8. And we'll close here. Predicting your future. Romans 8, 27. Would you read it? Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the what? Good. Is that predicted future? Yes. To those who love God, that means if you love Him, you obey Him. And to those who are called according to His purpose, in other words, doing His will. So all things can work to the good, can't they? All things, that's a predicted future, isn't it? Remember, God predestined us to be in His image and likeness. But you're predicting your future by what you do in the present. Because your future is always coming to you. Even though you're walking away from your past, you're still walking in the present, which is walking in your past and future at the same time. What you choose is waiting for you. No matter what it is. Nobody escapes it. Nobody. You know. We know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. We must stop allowing the enemy to predict our future. Quit fighting for your life and surrender it. What can man do to you? Fear is a killer. People cannot serve God because of fear. They can't serve God because of pride either. Because it keeps them always in a position of recovery. They spend more time recovering that they can't serve God. And that's because in that arena, the devil has predestined the future, keeping that person always in recovery. Recovery financial, recovery of health, recovery of this, recovery of that, recovery of whatever. If the devil can keep you in recovery, it's very difficult to serve God. In fact, you can't. Because we're always in ketchup. And we need mustard seed of faith. Amen? Get out of recovery. Recovery is always associated with preserving self. Are you listening? Recovery is always associated with preserving self. Because there's that self-image. What will people think? What about my future? What about this? It's all associated with fear also, isn't it? Is everybody okay? Does everybody got this? Don't let the devil predict your future anymore. Cast them down. Cast them out. And let the Lord predict your future. Because you already know what your future is and what you're doing today. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are blessed and honored. We ask that you continually keep us in a state of humility, humbleness, surrender, and fear and reverence to you. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that when we begin to sway, that you'll slap us in the back of the head hard. Because I'd rather be slapped by you and allow you to predict my future instead of the enemy predict my future. So Lord, we commit it all to you. We cast our cares on you and we trust you so we can walk in your timeline and fulfill your will and bring you all the glory, all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Be blessed.